Welcome to Solid Science, a podcast that is about soil.
Well, it's not about soil, but about its ecology and what we can learn from it. And it's about science.
Well, it's not about science, but how knowledge is produced. But it is about people.
It's not about people, but about their experiences.
Hi, I'm Romy, a young researcher that is impressed by how cute soil fauna can look like.
And I'm Carlos, two soil microecologists working in conservation ecology.
Today we will talk about the influence of visual elements in soil science, and we invited Frank Ashworth to talk with us about it. Hi Frank, it's nice to have you here. Can you quickly introduce yourself?
Hi Remy. Yeah, so I'm a soil ecologist from the UK, but now living in New Zealand. And I look, for my research, I look at mesofauna and macrofauna, so earthworms and springtails and that kind of thing, in forest systems and in land restoration, and I'm interested in them as indicators of sort of soil quality and that kind of thing. But also in my spare time, I'm also a macro photographer, so I take photographs of all of the invertebrates living in the soil.
You said that you do it on your spare time. So how do you manage between your, let's call it, real job and your spare time activity that also allows you to do other things? Yeah.
By having a very bad work-life balance, I think, to be honest. It's okay. I mean, if you love what you do, then you never work a day in your life, right? So, yeah, it is something I do in my spare time, largely. But there are definite overlaps with my work, and it's something that I've found really useful in the day job. So, yeah, it's a very blurry line, if I'm honest. I'm not sure how I manage it. I don't think I do manage it very well.
Okay, but the thing is, does your institution value that work? Because we had other people coming to our podcast describing how, for example, taxonomy is a hobby for them. You are now saying, well, macrophotography is a hobby for me, or something that you do elsewhere. And I'm wondering if your institution values to some degree that aspect of your life.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't been told I can have specific work time by any of my employers yet to go out with the camera and do it. But there definitely have been requests for using my photos in institutional material and communications material. So there is definitely value there and appreciation. But I think probably there is still a lot of work to do, I guess, as I think that was more with Zoe you were talking about with the taxonomy.
Yeah, sure. It
was really interesting. I think it is very similar, actually. It is still something that probably needs to be recognized a little bit more, the value of that kind of stuff that you end up doing in your spare time and how that could be brought into the workplace. There are research jobs or roles I've had where I've taken photographs of things here and there to produce sort of identification guides and that kind of thing. So There is overlap, and there are ways in. But yeah, there's a lot more that could be done, I'm sure.
But is this a hobby or is this a real job?
I don't know. I'd love it to be at least part of my job, I think. I had an amazing opportunity this year where I was actually commissioned by a non-profit to go around Australia, some farms in Australia, and take photographs of soil organisms there. And that was amazing to be able to have that time to actually take 2 weeks and travel and, you know, expenses paid and that kind of thing to actually go and do that. More opportunities like that would be amazing. I'd still love to do research to an extent, but, you know, a bit of a macro photography research balance would be good.
So how did this all started? How did you end up with macro photography? Was it your passion or a child dream to take pictures of soil organisms?
No, it wasn't. I have always really loved soil invertebrates. So, from a young age, I remember flipping over rocks and looking at all the beetles and things, and my mum telling me what they all were. And I was really passionate about that. But photography is something I never really was into until the first COVID lockdown in the UK, actually. And most people were sort of learning how to make sourdough bread during lockdown. And I'd stumbled upon Andy Murray's website, A Chaos of Delight, and I saw his photographs and I thought, oh my word, I should give this a try. And I had a lot of time on my hands. So I decided to get a cheap camera and a lens, and Andy gave me some advice and I just got hooked immediately. I went out into the garden and I spent, I think, most of the first COVID lockdown in the UK just taking photographs and getting a bit better at it. And and I just got hooked. And then the use of it in my work became really obvious. So I think I just never stopped.
You mentioned Andy now. So is there work of others that you follow?
Yeah, I mean, Andy Murray is obviously, you know, a legend in the field. And you pick up the Global Soil Biodiversity Atlas or anything like that, and it's just full of his photos. He's been a bit of a mentor to me on my macro photography journey as well. So yeah, he's great. There's lots of others, too many to name really, but people like Thomas Shahan in America as well, really amazing photography, and lots of really useful tutorial like guides on YouTube that people can follow. And that really helped me getting into it as well. So I guess I really like the people who pay it forwards and help bring other people along on the journey. And I should probably do some more of that, to be honest.
So what kind of guides are in the internet? What YouTube videos? So do they show how to do macro photography? I guess they don't focus on soils, right?
Yeah, soil isn't soil itself isn't photographed particularly a lot, and soil invertebrates certainly not either really. There's not a lot of guidance out there, but all you have to do, just YouTube, do a YouTube search for macro photography, and there's a lot of really generous people out there who spend a lot of their time making videos, taking you out and showing you how to do it. And the materials are all the same. So the people taking photos of jumping spiders and butterflies and that kind of thing, the stuff they're using isn't really any different than if you wanted to go and take a photograph of a harvestman or a mite or an earthworm or something like that. You might need a slightly more powerful lens, but it's all the same thing. So
the equipment is really important then also for the soil organisms. Like you mentioned now, the lens. Is there anything else except for the camera that's needed?
Patience. A lot of patience. There's a few things. So you need a good flash. Flash is really important for it, because when you're sort of going down to high magnifications, it becomes quite a dark world down there, and you need some flash. And there's lots of ways you can do that. There's kind of cheap ways to do all of it, though. You can get clip-on macro lenses for normal camera lenses. So you can, if you've just got a normal portrait camera lens, you can get a little clip-on lens that you pop on the front for about 100 euros, I think, and it can give you a macro photography camera. So relatively affordable way of giving it a try, and that's how I started. You need a camera, you need a lens, you need a flash. That's about it, really. Patience. The thing that I think helps me do it quite well is an understanding or appreciation for the ecology of the animals. So kind of knowing where to look, and I can get my eye in quite quickly for what I'm looking at, which saves a lot of time in trying to find stuff. So I know kind of what I'm looking for, because it's my day job as well, right? So that helps. But it's a really easy hobby to pick up, actually. And you don't need too much stuff, but it is addictive. It's a rabbit hole. Once you get started, you might end up pouring quite a lot of money into better equipment.
Yes. And also you mentioned patience. So you do invest some time to get a picture. How long does it take to get like one picture of an organism because they are running away or something?
Yeah, it depends. It depends what you're photographing, because some things do not stand still and they're not the right shape either. So stuff like symphylans are just long and thin and always running around and impossible to photograph. It doesn't take long to get a photo, but what I tend to do is actually take quite a lot of photos. You find it probably looks, when people post nice macro photography images online, like they spent forever and got that one amazing photo, but I guarantee you, for every good photo, there's about 30 bad photos, and they were deleted quickly. So most of the time it's actually spent taking lots of photos and then deleting all the bad ones and then focusing on the good ones, at least for me. Maybe other people are better, but I do it sort of a scatter gun kind of approach.
Let's now move a bit away from macro photography. You had recently this exhibition, and you're also doing more exhibitions. So what do you think, or why do you do that, these exhibitions? And do you think they have an impact or a larger impact on the people?
Yeah, I think, is that the exhibition in Australia you were talking about?
Or yes.
I did that because they paid me to go. No, I'm joking. I would have done it for free. It's really enjoyable. It's actually something that I probably enjoy the most about it, is connecting with people about, you know, soil biodiversity, also all these animals, because it's amazing how little people know who are even working in like that exhibition was with farmers, and I was on the farms talking to people, and they were just mind blown by the stuff that I was showing them, the photographs I was showing them. And you kind of think, because they're farmers, they're in the field all day, they know this stuff, but they don't. They don't. They're busy. You know, they've got a job to do, and they're not stopping to look at invertebrates, but they do care about it because it's the life in the soil and it's what supports their livelihood, right? So they do care, but they haven't got the time or the specialist knowledge. So those kind of exhibitions and you know, putting stuff online, macro, on social media and that kind of thing helps bring people into this world who they want to know about it, they care, but they just need someone to show them. And I think that exhibitions and the other kind of knowledge exchange using those images is a great way of connecting with audiences who are, they're already on site. They just need someone to sort of help tip them over the edge and appreciate things a little bit more by showing them what's in there.
So do you think that communication with visual items, in this case a photograph or a video, because I also saw insane videos of Columbola, for example, that I don't know how they can make it, but do you think that this type of media allows you to communicate better about the ecology of the animals or of the soil organisms?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these organisms are sort of 2 millimeters in size or smaller, right? So most people are going to never even see them or think about them in their lives. And if we want to convince, you know, people to conserve and protect soil biodiversity, they need to know what they're protecting and conserving, right? And, you know, most people won't know what a springtail is. So if you show them and you show them in these nice images, that you can build a connection, and they're amazing looking animals as well. I mean, a lot of them look really alien and beautiful. You know, they could be covered in iridescent metallic scales, or, you know, have a dorsal anus, or, you know, whatever. There's always crazy creatures out there, and they just look so striking. And you can build that immediate connection with people because through just looking at the creatures themselves and they're appreciating their natural beauty. So I really do think it is a useful way of making an inroads. And I think that's why, I think that's one of the things I find so rewarding about it, actually, is because, you know, I do get quite a good feedback from people, and I feel like I get that engagement with people about it. And maybe I'm in my own way kind of helping a bit.
Yeah, but you mentioned before the exhibition, for example, you mentioned also that sometimes even your institutions want to use your photographs. What would be your dream project? So let's say that I now find an institution that, instead of considering this a hobby, considers this more of a serious job. What would be that? What would be your dream project to do?
Oh, my word. My dream project.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I'm in New Zealand now, where there is an insane amount of endemic, crazy, beautiful soil animals. I think my dream job right now, my dream project would be for someone just to say, right, off you go into the bush, 6 months, maybe a year. Here's all the research kit you need. Go and build an inventory of springtail, earthworm, whatever, biodiversity for the bush out here or something like that. Something amazing. Just some, I think it was Zoe's episode I was listening to. She was saying how, you know, she does obviously the taxonomy in the spare time, but she really loves that bit. And I agree. Like, I wish I had more time for taxonomy. I don't get any time for it at all, but I would love to just be given a pot of cash and a few years and say, right, go modernize all the keys to Columbola or to earthworms for New Zealand. And here is complete freedom to go out into the field and take, you know, permit to collect a respectful amount of samples, only the ones you need, and go and actually build a species list, or build, you know, because we don't have that. There's so little.
That's true.
Fundamental taxonomic work there, and I wish I had more time to do that, I suppose.
Do you think that because you are in New Zealand, you must have heard that about this bird contest? So you have to select a bird, and then there's a trust fund that actually supports the conservation of this bird, and this was picked up by John Oliver in the US. So do you think that
I saw that
do you think that
it was big news here? It was pretty rather
exactly. So my question is, do you think that you would do such a contest for soil organisms? So you know you put all these pictures about these weird looking soil organisms and say, hey, vote on your own, just try to protect it. Do you think it's something like
Do you reckon I could get the engagement for that?
Well, sure.
We get John Oliver on board. I'm sure he'd get behind the Giants.
Sure, they look like aliens. So I have, come on. What else do you need?
Well, I think back on in the good old days of Twitter, there was a thing called the Mineral World Cup. I don't know if that's still going now, but we should have a soil ecology World Cup where you have everyone selects a different organism and they vote every week on a different one. That would be good.
Sounds great. Yeah. So there's one question left, and it's the question we always pose at the end about the young researchers. But I would like to know from you, what can young researchers do to support your work also? Like, should we include more pictures in our papers to like make visible what we are researching on?
I mean, that would be great. I've been really lucky. I've connected with quite a lot of researchers mainly by people asking me not to collaborate on research, but to provide photos for their manuscripts, and it's always really nice. I would encourage young researchers in our field to pick up a camera and start doing it themselves rather than just use my photos. I think it would be nice to see more people, and not just white men as well, doing it. I think it would be really nice to encourage the next generation and gets more diversity in macro photography. And I think that would be a really good thing. And I would help in any way that I can with that. And also it would help researchers, sort of ecologists, get an appreciation for the ecology of the organisms they're looking at. And that's one of the things I really learned was you go into the field and you actually watch these things running around and feeding on each other and mating and whatever. And you get a whole different appreciation for the fundamental ecology of the organisms we look at. So yeah. Go pick up a camera. Feel free to contact me. I'll give you any advice that you need. And let's get some more macro photographers out there.
Yes, sure. Let's do that.
That sounds great, Avrang. Thank you very much for coming.
Oh, thank you. I really enjoyed it.
So, Romy, what have we learned today?
Well, the most easy message was just start doing macro photography. I mean, We started during the pandemic, and it was an easy start due to all the material online and the guidance and the YouTube videos. And also, I think if many people start taking pictures of soil organisms, we also get different views on soil. The thing he said that so far, there are only few people doing it, also means we have kind of limited views on how and what we can see in the soil. And if more people take pictures, it's like a photographer has his own viewpoint that goes into the pictures. I think it's important to have more of that.
That's a very deep insight, Romy. I'm astonished. But one thing that I really also liked was the aspect that goes with what you're saying, is the aspect that you can use macro photography not only as a way to obtain nice pictures, but also as a way to understand better the ecology of the animals or of the organisms that you are taking pictures of. And this is something that it's an aspect that can directly link to many other things that we do in our daily life. We teach, we do research, we try to understand how communities work and how they relate to each other, how organisms relate to each other. And using macro photography as another way of measuring that or observing that is a really nice perspective too, I would say.
Yes, and I guess it's harder to observe the organisms in a different way than taking pictures of them, because they are so small, you really have to go to them. It's not like a behavioral study of elephants where you can just watch what they are doing. I think it's much harder in the soil also, because if a springtail jumps away, it's really hard to find it again.
Sure. We could mark it somehow with a cape, and then it's easier. But yeah, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we are tracking animal movements already in soil organisms. I know it's done with beetles, but I guess smaller is also hard. We need some more technological improvements there.
Not only that, for example, Frank takes a lot of pictures of earthworms, and earthworms, I would say, although it's easier to track because they move slower than springtail jumping, for example. But if you want to track a movement of an earthworm in the soil, it's also very hard because, as soon as it goes deep, you don't necessarily know which earthworm are you talking about. So doing that type of behavior study becomes difficult. Having said that, using macro photography, because Frank mentioned one aspect that I really liked, that for him it was easier because he had an ecological background, so he could, he knew already where to look for things. And that aspect of ecological background, or improving your ecological knowledge of what is happening in the soil, that I really, really liked. And I also liked your perspective of having a different perspective on soil from different photographers.
Yes, I mean, that's the case.
Yeah, sure.
And I also like the idea to use it more often in papers. I mean, yes, we can also put our own photographs into our manuscripts, but I do think it makes a difference. If I'm reading a paper and there's a picture of a soil organism that was studied there, it has to have some relation to the study. But if there is a picture, it's easier for me to read that paper because there's a picture in between. I know what kind of organism was studied. So there's a certain connection to the research and to the basic idea of what I'm doing research on and reading. And that's mm-hmm. really helpful, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking that in the early times of conservation ecology, people had really to see what they were conserving. You know, even if it was a bird or an elephant, it was about taking pictures, filming them, showing people why they should care. And maybe we have to do the same for soils.
Yes, and doing exhibitions or pictures at any stage is really a part that's helpful there.
Okay, Romy, I guess I see you next time then.
Yes, see you next time.